Roots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
I'll go on, wake them up.
Okie dokie, because I'm telling you now that even though it's overcast and rainy, get your little derrieres out in the garden. Go and, oh, it's a good time to actually find slugs and squish them between your fingers.
I didn't know where you were going.
Or you could sort of pack them on your face because slug slime's a thing.
Apparently salmon sperm's a thing. Honestly, it's
hard to get hold of.
Crazy influences.
Back to slugs. So slugs harbour under little tiny things. Slugs are actually really small and hard to get hold of. And I've often wondered if you had a whole flock of them.
A flock of slugs? Is that the collective noun for slugs?
No, I don't know what it is. But but if you flacked them on your face, a flock of slugs, I wonder if they'd give you all that lovely slimy stuff.
Why don't you give it a go? I'll document it.
All right.
And we
I'll
can
do
record because I'm not doing it.
I hope I can find enough slugs.
Come to our place. Honestly. Slugs.
I want slugs, not snails though, Joe.
Not too many. I don't know why we don't have many snails. We've got so many animals.
That's why. Well, I always know if the rat population has dropped. Because I start seeing snails. Snails are their most favourite food.
Really?
Honestly. When the rat man came to up into my roof, he said he had never seen so many snails in a roof ever. And you could hear them when the rats bring the snails up. And he had buckets full of snails.
So what? They get somehow the rat gets it out.
Yeah. Well, they've got that little snouty thing. So, and you could hear the shells rolling on the ceiling when it was really bad.
I can see an art installation in your future with all the shells.
It's actually a great idea.
Paint them. You could do all kinds of things. Maybe you could
make a necklace.
Now, you're actually here to do the important business of answering gardening questions. Wouldn't it be a slime of slugs?
It more than likely would be a slime of slugs.
Slugs are homeless snails, Skip Mark.
I know. They don't have enough calcium to make a little shell.
And Emma says, Sab, growing up, the slugs got into our chook pellets and turned the gigantic mutant-sized sluggy.
Oh, my Lord. They were fed up slugs. Oh, my goodness. Well, if you know garden snails, you can eat them. And you have to purge all the sand out of them. It takes about 2 weeks. You put them on a bran and oatmeal diet.
Ew.
And they grow exponentially.
The only place I've eaten snails. And we actually had to prepare them in France.
Oh, yes.
So you buy them separately and then make the garlicky, buttery, blah, and then our job as little kids was to shove the snail back in the shell. Anyway, from slugs and snails to they are in the garden. If you mind the rat worm in the snail slug slime, it's brain damage. What?
What?
I don't understand.
No, I don't know anything about that.
I do not understand. Now, I've got a question for you on the text line.
Let's
Rachel
rock and roll.
In Calamunda says,
she's got a Metrosideros. Oh.
Metrosideros, and will it cause problems with sewage?
No, because that Metrosideros isn't the big tree, it's a variegated form of it. Mm. Now, most of the root system on the New Zealand Christmas tree, or pahutukawa, are surface roots. So you never have to worry about their root system in your sewerage, septic, or other S's that take the effluent from your house.
There you have it. Mm. You're all good, Rachel. Hopefully you are still listening. My 2-year-old finger lime tree in Como, gall wasps are in the main two stems. If this lovely person was to prune it, there'd be nothing left. Mm. Have I lost the tree?
Not necessarily. Now, if those galls are intact and there are no exit holes, it means that the eggs are still in there and they're going to be larvaed. So you can try two things. You can get a scalpel. And you can peel away most of the gall and hopefully expose the egg. You can try packing it with clay, but that actually doesn't work very well. Or you have to cut the limb off. So that's how we got gall wasp in the first place, because they're native to Queensland, New South Wales, and they're native to the finger lime. So when we started importing finger limes into WA about 20 years ago, that's when we got the gall wasp. Because you couldn't see the galls until they developed.
And why it is so important, if you are disposing of your prunings, you need to wrap them and make sure they do not end up,
solarize them.
Now, a group of slugs, according to Ross in Harvey, cornucopia.
Oh, I like that.
Golden cornucopia of slugs.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Herb's been waiting. Good afternoon, Herb. What did you want to ask?
Oh, good afternoon. Oh, I was thinking in relation to the slugs, you could have a fest of slugs or a slug fest.
Oh, slug fest. I like the sound of that, Herb. Now, yeah. Herb's one of our favourite callers from Hovia, aren't you, Herb?
Your name's so, very on point.
It is. Herb, do you serve up a cornucopia of slugs in your magnificent breakfasts?
Oh, yes. Makes everything slide down really easy. Yes.
Well, what can we do for you on this fine Tuesday, Herb?
The gumnosis on a nectarine tree.
Yes.
It was a tiny problem last year, and I didn't pay it attention, and this year it's a bigger problem. What chemicals? I will have to use something. I can't pray for it to get better.
Yeah, so you're going to have to use a copper oxychloride based fungicide.
Yep, okay. Yep. Do I paint it on the limbs or?
Spray it, but spray the entire lot.
Yep, okay.
And don't forget, people forget when you're spraying copper, it's copper, so you don't want to be gobbing it down.
Wear a mask.
Yeah, wear a mask. Herb?
Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah. Wise words, Sabrina, who's about to go and put a cornucopia of slugs all over your face. I don't know. Should we be taking health advice from you? It is 2:30. Clayton Stefano and Kirsten, we are going to come to your let's get back into it. Clayton Stefano, Kirsten and Patricia have patiently been standing by. Clayton, what's happened with your cherry blossom?
Hopefully it's a little bit of easy advice. I'm relocating. I'm going to have to move house shortly. And I've got a 3.5 meter tall cherry blossom in a large pot. And I'm just wondering if there's any tips you can give me or advice to sort of minimise the stress on the plant.
Where are you moving to, Clayton?
You don't have to
give me your exact address.
going to Mount Pleasant.
Okay. Now, which cherry do you have? Do you know?
Oh, you're probably not asking the right person, unfortunately.
Okay. So is it a flowering cherry or a fruiting?
It's a flowering cherry.
Well, you shall get flowers. Okay, so is it bare at the moment?
It is bare at the moment.
Okay, perfect time to move it.
That's what I was hoping.
Are you going to put it in the ground or keep it in a pot?
Potentially. We put it in a pot because we knew we were going to relocate at some stage and this house will be our permanent space. So we'll probably put it in the ground over there. So if you've got any tips for planting, I'm happy to take those.
So I would actually put it in while it's dormant.
Okay.
So when you move, dig a big hole. In the bottom of the hole, you want some compost, some cow or sheep poo, slow-release fertiliser, and mix that in with the soil. Try not to disturb the root system too much. Make sure that it goes in the same depth that it's in the pot.
Yes.
Then slow release fertilizer on top. You won't need to mulch it yet because you want it to feel cold when it goes in the ground.
Okay.
And that will help you get more flowers.
Ah, brilliant. Nice. And should I prune it at all before we move it, or should I just leave it the way it is?
I would just leave it if I were you. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Beautiful.
Happy moving, Clayton. Happy moving. Stefano has sent through some pics. I think we just saw your fig tree, Stefano.
Ah, Stefano, have you got a chainsaw by the look of your pruning technique?
Yeah, I've done a very gentlemanly style prune there.
Well, if you were going to say, do I need to prune more, the answer would be no. It's what I would call quite a it's a prune that you've done for 2 years worth, but it's a fig tree. So basically you've left two arms.
I want to hang on. Stefano, what was your rationale, mate? I'm curious as to...
Well, last year, I mean, every year it gets too high.
Yeah.
It gets too tall for me to prune.
Yeah.
So, and it being a fig tree, I don't want it to get out of control.
No.
No chance of that now.
It's kind of got knobbles on its end now.
It's like an art installation.
It is. It's how I would describe it, knobbles. Now, okay, so it would have been better perhaps if you had left a few, you know, you've got the two branches left on the front stem.
Yeah.
You're better off, rather than taking everything down to a knobble, you're better off leaving some of the canes, like thinning out 50%, and then you take the ones that are growing vertically, you take them off altogether, and you keep the ones that are sort of more at a 45-degree angle.
They're all going vertical.
Okay. Hence you've done the knobbling.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now what you can do, because you've got the framework of the fig tree, now keep an eye on it, because where the knobbles are, you're going to get multi stem branching. You will need to remove at least a third of the new stems that come from each knobble.
Okay.
And
it's a cornucopia of knobbles.
It is a cornucopia of knobbles.
Is there any way to stop it from going sky high?
You've just got to keep cutting off those horizontal limbs and eventually. So this is the trick. This is what they do in Japan, right? They weigh branches down so they grow horizontally rather than vertically. So what you do is you, when the spring growth comes, you tie a stocking or rope to one of the limbs and you wrap that around a brick. So the brick, but you've got, you can only do it when there's sap flow, so you can only do it in spring. And then you get your horizontal branches and then you take off the rest of the verticals, and the horizontal branches by the end of summer will remain horizontal.
Stefano, can you please promise to send through a photo in spring of the knobbly installation with the weighed down branches? I cannot wait. No, I'm being serious. I'm not being sarcastic.
It's great fun.
Kirsten is in Applecross and wants to talk gall wasps. Hi, Kirsten.
Oh, hi, Joe and Sabrina. Thanks again for your wonderful program. I have a lemon tree which used to produce a prolific number of lemons. We had this gall wasp problem and my husband pruned it, or he could have done it with a chainsaw but didn't.
good man.
yes, but it's killed it. And I don't know whether I should expect any growth in the spring or whether it's had it.
Well, I tell you what, Kirsten, I would leave it until the spring, because lemon trees are remarkable. I remember watching a video with Peter Kundal, God bless him, probably about 30 years ago. He pruned a lemon tree where there was literally nothing left on it, and then he did another video of it 6 months later and it was thriving. So do not give up on that lemon tree yet, Kirsten.
Right, I won't. Yep. I'll wait and see what happens.
So just wait.
Thanks.
Okay, and good luck, Kirsten.
And just while we're talking about gall wasps, someone sent through a text, Sabby, saying that they didn't know you could freeze the gall wasp in the freezer until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
And for them, it's a much easier method, and they're just sort of suggesting you should always add that tip whenever you're talking about them.
I should. So you can indeed freeze them. You need to keep them in the freezer for a week, okay? So because remember the egg or the larvae inside, once it's frozen and the crystal forms inside the bug, then it kills them. Most people don't have a freezer big enough to put in dirty, great big branches of a lemon tree, but all you need to do is actually cut the gall part off, put it in a plastic bag and shove it in the freezer, and I would actually leave it in for 2 or 3 weeks.
And then you can pop it into the FOGO bin?
Then it can go in the FOGO bin.
There we go. Good advice. Let's head to Pinjarra. Good afternoon, Patricia.
Sorry.
Hello, Patricia.
Picking you on speaker. Hello, Kirsten. I remember you from our days in nursing mothers.
Oh, that is so lovely.
But that's not why I called.
No.
I would like to use my water corp.
Are you tree bait?
For
the tree bait?
Yeah, tree bait.
Yep.
I want a small to medium eucalypt that has a white trunk.
Okay, so that it would be the Eucalyptus victrix.
You find them in the Gascoyne, don't you?
Yeah,
they're so beautiful against that red, the Murchison. Oh,
it's
stunning.
Called a dwarf ghost gum. But I have to say, when they say dwarf, they're comparing it to the other ghost gum, which gets to 30 to 40 metres high. But, Patricia, most of the Eucalyptus victrix get to around 4 to 5 metres. Now, they are readily available, so you could definitely get that one.
Okay. All right. Okay. Is there anything else, or is that
there's the erythrocoris, which is the red cap yellow flowering gum.
Yep.
So that's a cracker, and I really love the Forestiana, which has the little Christmas bells on it.
Okay,
got those, Patricia?
Yep. Lovely.
Good on you. Happy planting, happy planting. Kerry is in Coogee, and I think you've got a question about a peach tree, Kerry.
Yes, I have. I know I have to prune it soon, but it's loaded with blossom, as you can see.
Oh, do you know what? Funny you should say that, Kerry. Oh, my goodness, it is too. My peach tree is the same. I think because we didn't get a cold snap until much later, I've never had so many flowers on my peach tree.
Yep. It's loaded. What do I do?
Nothing.
What do you do?
Nothing. I rejoiced. Now, it's a bit too soon to do anything. What I did do, though, is I stripped off all the leaves because mine still had the leaves on. So I forced dormancy on it, ripped all the leaves off. So I've given mine a liquid drench of humic and fulvic acid and some sheep dags around the top, and then in about 2 weeks' time, I will then give it liquid fertilizer, and I'm going to give it some granular fertilizer for fruit formation. So I will also give it a sulfate of potash, which will help with development of the fruit.
That's good. And if I listen back, I'll get all those.
You will. You'll get all of the above.
Colin in Lake Coogee wants to know, is it possible to move a 38-year-old rose bush and straighten it up?
Absolutely, Colin. And what a perfect time of the year to do it. So I would suggest you prune it first. Lots of people have moved, 70, 80-year-old rose bushes because they have sentimental value for them. Definitely dig up as much of the root mass as you can. He is going to move it. So have the hole pre-dug. I would put in some clay. You're in Coogee. Put in clay, put in biochar, put in compost and some sheep poo. Mix all that up in the bottom of the hole, then 50-50, whatever you've dug out, mixed with all the stuff that I just said. Prune it back. Get rid of the oldest cane that you can because you will get new water shoots. So every 3 to 4 years you take away the oldest cane from your roses. So that you get new water shoot. But honestly, Colin, they move really well and you can straighten up. So when you're straightening it up, you need to cut, some of the lower branches off.
There we go. Yep. Colin, you can absolutely, it sounds like, give that rose another life.
And I have to say, we've had a text message from someone in Lancelin who actually said pahutakawa tree, saying being surface root tree, because it has those aerial roots, he said, I'm presuming it's he, could not be more wrong.
Wayne.
Picks of the roots, Wayne, dug out in our septics in Lancelin, told the plumber the problem was not my New Zealand Christmas tree because they're surface rooted. He laughed at me. We dug 2 metres down and the leach drain and 100 mil of polypipe were chockers with the roots. Love your show. Cheers, Wayne. Leach drains are quite a different thing, actually. But
Wayne, I love your honesty, though. I know, good on you, mate, for owning up.
I think the problem with me is I've seen them where they grow right on the water in New Zealand, and you see all those magnificent aerial roots.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
But I take your point, Wayne, because you've had a plumber that's had to actually get the old rotor out. Oops. To get the roots out.
Oops.
Oops, so my bad.
There we go. Slip of slugs.
A slip of slugs.
A slip of slugs.
On
okay.
A slimy slide.
Let's head to the Midwest. G'day, Brett. Hello,
good
Brett.
Good afternoon, ladies. How are we travelling?
Yeah, very well, Brett.
Excellent, excellent. Look, it's just a quick one. I live on the coast here in beautiful Geraldton.
Yeah.
I've just purchased and planted a grass tree, which I'm in love with, and I just want to make sure I do the best by it and look after it.
Yep.
What would you suggest? I'm pretty protected from the wind, so that's in my favour. It's north facing.
Okie doke.
Beyond that, that's where I'm a bit unsure.
I'm doing the right thing. So it's going to love free draining soil. When you first put it in, it's important to water it. But the big problem people make is then they overwater it during the second summer. So the first summer, you're going to have to water it twice a week. People use, there's a humic fulvic acid that has minerals and microbes in it, in a blend, and it makes things go better.
The grass tree loves it. Is that what
you're
saying?
The grass tree will love that.
Go gadget go.
Yeah, go gadget go. Now you do it half strength and you drench it with that. I would not put mulch around it in its first year.
Okay.
And then so twice a week for the first summer, and then by the second summer you really have to pull back on the watering.
Be restrained, Brett.
Once a fortnight. But use a wetting agent.
Do nothing now?
Sorry?
Do nothing now once it's in the ground, wait till summer?
If you get rainfall, but if you've just put it in, there's no rainfall, you will have to water it now. Okay, so once a fortnight.
Okay, grass trees. They are beautiful. They're beautiful. Let's head to, or let's have a chat to Chuck. What's happened with your apple tree, Chuck?
Yeah, hello, ladies. I've got a Pinkerbell, and it's, I think, I can't remember the name of the green neighbour that it has, but the Pinkerbell didn't go too well. I've had to get another one because I'm finding in the soil white grubs about 2 centimetres long, perhaps the thickness of a pencil. Mm-hmm. Are they the damage? What's the, they're probably, yeah, about the thickness of a pencil, about 2 centimetres long.
Okay.
And there's quite a few of them in the soil.
Okay, so they could well be just having a little chow down on the root system. Now, Chuck, it's hard to get stuff to attack grubs like that, but there is some parasitic nematodes that infest the grubs. So you don't, because it's very difficult to spray and it's an apple tree, so you want to eat your apples without pesticides. So there is a company that make these predatory nematodes that will feed on grubs in the ground.
Oh, lovely. Actually, just one more point I forgot to mention. It's in a very large pot, probably 60 litres. Would it be smarter to change the soil out, maybe?
Absolutely. Easy peasy, Chuck.
You solved your own problem.
There you go. So what you need to do is you need to, and your apple tree, I mean, they've probably still got leaves on. I'm not too, well, mine do. But you will need to shake all the soil out from the root system, Chuck, and then get a whole new bag of, is that going to be hard, is it?
No, well, that's the reason why I asked. It's a major job to change the soil out of the pot, but if I've got to do that, yeah. I will. It'll probably take. It's a big job, but yes, I can do it.
Okay,
and,
so
the tree's okay. It's only got half a dozen leaves on it at the moment.
Oh, okay. Well, good time to do it. I want you to rest the pot on its side, get your hose on jet, and you're going to hose the soil out of the pot.
Okay, easy done.
And you keep rolling it until you hose all the soil out.
Lovely.
See,
right,
you just needed to talk it through, Chuck.
Yeah.
That's all you needed to do.
You were on the money.
And I'm assuming some decent soil to go back into the
good
pot.
Good quality potting mix mixed with a bit of compost.
Good on you, Chuck. Okay, Lynn is in Subi. And another pruning rose question. And as we do that, Slim's walking into the studio with something that looks rather magnificent. What on earth? Hang on. Concentrate.
What?
Concentrate. You're talking to Lynn.
Lynn.
Good afternoon, ladies. Look, I've just a quick question. I normally prune my roses quite late to avoid summer storms.
Yeah.
But this year I need them to be flowering mid-September.
Oh. And, so have you pruned them earlier?
No.
Okay.
They're not pruned.
Okay. We are in... So you've got 6 weeks. It's going to take 6 weeks to get really good blooms. I would be doing it now.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Into that. And can you give me some suggestions of some sort of low growing but compatible or plants to sort of go on the bed underneath the roses?
Oh.
I need this garden to be looking quite attractive.
Oh, that's so lovely. Okay. So there's Gilardia, Gailardia, Gilardia.
Yeah.
Then you've got Cosmos, the beautiful white Cosmos, sensational. Mm-hmm. You've got Primulas, which will all flower well. You've got Violas and Pansies, which will be looking beautiful by then. You've got Iberis, the white flowering Iberis.
Right.
Lobelia, which it has that striking blue colour.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yep. Primulas and polyanthers.
Oh, got a wonderful choice.
Oh, you do, Lynn. You have a wonderful choice. Let's squeeze in one more call. Good afternoon, Gladys. I think, Gladys, you're in Albany.
Yes. Yeah, I just want to know, I've got a number of trees and I want to know, do you fertilise them during the winter months? There's lemon.
Yeah.
Lemon, plum,
yes.
Nectarine, apricot, peach, fig, pink lady, avocado, pomegranates, locusts, and sunshine special passion fruit.
Okay, everything bar your deciduous things you can fertilise now. Anything deciduous, no point in doing it until spring, until end of September.
Yeah, so basically all of my fruit trees apart from lemon.
Yes, that's right. Yep, and your passion fruit. Yep.
Yes, of course.
So you can do your passion fruit, yep.
Yeah, so all of the other tree, like the from the plum and that, they can all be fertilised now?
No, you're going to leave them until September.
I got it the wrong way around.
That's okay. So anything with leaves on it or winter, fertilise now.
Slim just walked into the studio.
Wow.
With a tray of treasure. Can you believe it?
God.
Our lovely, lovely, lovely listener, Miriam, has just dropped off a delivery. I've never seen anything like it. Miriam,
it's
I really
stunning.
Hope you're listening. Apparently, Miriam was inspired because we were talking earlier about smells. And so she wanted to say thank you because you might remember a few weeks ago, Miriam wanted advice with a grass tree.
Grass
do you remember
tree.
That
yes,
giant grass
yes,
tree?
Yes.
And apparently I revealed I hadn't tried chalk dipped strawberries. Miriam has brought in.
I know.
Is it dragon fruit? I can't see properly.
No. Oh, yeah, it's got the
dragon
most.
Dragon fruit.
And the beautiful dragon fruit.
Oh, my goodness.
Fresh strawberries that I can smell them.
You are.
Dipped in chocolate and it's so beautiful.
Now, we have
they've
to experience the smell as we open it because we've been talking about smells.
Oh,
my. The chocolate.
And blueberries. You can smell it. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what – I'm not even going to bother with dinner tonight. I've got afternoon tea.
I really hope you're listening, Marion. If not, we're going to make sure that we somehow get you this audio. What a lovely person.
Oh, Miriam, thank you so much. They are stunning.
Chocolate and the – what leaves are these? Come on, Miss Horticulture.
That's come off of a Burnham.
Yes. That's just the to make it look –
for decoration.
Very spoilt.
Oh, very my spoiled. Goodness.
Thank you, Marion. You are absolutely divine, as are you, Sabrina Hahn. Thank you, everybody. That was Roots and Shoots for this afternoon. And
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.